Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of New African people in support and solidarity with the New African Independence Movement as we struggle for land, independent self-governments, and the creation of an economic system that benefits the collective, the whole, instead of just a few individuals at the exploitation of the collective, at the exploitation of the whole, something we call scientific socialism. And as always, I will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community. But as always, I am your host, Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yero. Excuse me, I'm messing up my own name. But as always, we like to start the show out by shining the spotlight on an individual, an organization, or an event that was instrumental or is instrumental in the struggle for New African independence in America. And today we want to talk about one of our great master teachers, none other than John Henry Clark. Now, John Henry Clark was a scholar, a master teacher, as I said. He was instrumental in debunking and revealing the lies about African history, or the lack of African history, perpetuated by the system of white supremacy and racism. He was able to expose and enlighten and educate on an academic level and reveal the truth about African history, about African civilizations, about the contributions of African people throughout the world, throughout time. As we all know now, African people are the original people of the earth, the first people to walk the planet. All other people come from African people. African peoples are the founders of civilization, mathematics, science, writing. The list goes on and on and on. But as you know, because of the success of the African slave trade, there was a systematic global effort to suppress all of the contributions made by African people. And brothers like John Henry Clark helped to reveal the truth of our history and spread it through on an academic level throughout colleges. He was born January 1st, 1915. He was a pan-African writer, historian, professor, and a pioneer in the creation of African studies in professional institutions and academic starting in the late 1960s. Now, he was the founded the African Heritage Study Association and the Black Caucus of the African Association, and the Black Caucus of the African Studies Association. He sparked an influence along the line of new generation of African-centered thinkers, which to this day helped to raise the consciousness of new African people all over, really all over the world. He's responsible for great publications. One of the favorites is Christopher Columbus and the African Holocaust, Slavery and the Rise of European Capitalism. And he's the author and co-author of several other books, the Black American Short Stories, Now African Contributions to Civilization, Exploring the Myths, that were by Tony Browner and John Henry Clark, and several others. The list goes on and on and on. So on this day, we want to acknowledge, we want to shine the spotlight, we want to uplift and raise a big red, black, and green flag for our great elder, which is now has transitioned in 1998 to be an ancestor, the master teacher, Dr. John Henry Clark. Now that leads us to our topic for today, because as you know, one of the great contributions of Dr. John Henry Clark was countering this propaganda against African, New African people, destroying our history, creating a psychological term known as menticide, when a person's mind has been mentally destroyed while living under a system of oppression which purposely destroys their history and says, you've never been anything in this society. Your people have never contributed anything to this society other than being some uncivilized person in the jungle or an enslaved person who serves the will of the system of white supremacy. Now, this type of thinking, which has been perpetuated for centuries in America, really throughout the world, part of the indoctrination that we suffer, that we face here in America, and like I said, really the whole world, even to this day, we are indoctrinated within this system of white supremacy. So the topic for the day, what we want to discuss, what we want to talk about today is how does this system of white supremacy, and really it's more than just white supremacy, how does the system of white supremacy, the system of capitalism, imperialism, neocolonialism, how does that affect the way New African people think and behave? Because like I said, if you live in America, you have been on some form, on some level, been indoctrinated into the system, into the thinking, into the mindset of white supremacy. You can't help it. You can't avoid it. When you wake up, you get white supremacy. You turn on the radio, you get white supremacy. When you turn on the news, the television, white supremacy. Go to the movies, white supremacy. Go to school, white supremacy. Even when you go to church, you get white supremacy. It is completely integrated into all levels of human activity. Our great master teacher, Neely Fuller, said, as well as Francis Cress Wilson, if you don't understand white supremacy, how it works, how it operates, and everything else will only confuse you. And understand, when we say white supremacy, we're talking about a system. So how does this system affect New African people? And one of the reasons that I did this particular topic today is because, you know, I saw a clip, something, you know, came on like one of those news shows, and it was talking about this rapper, real popular guy, Lil Wayne. Now, I only bring him up not because I think he's important or that he's relevant to our struggle, because he is completely not, but it served as a good example of how the system affects us. Because he was asked about racism, police brutality, and more specifically about the Black Lives Matter movement. And his response was just flooded with ignorance, completely ignorance, white supremacy, stupidity, and all that kind of stuff. And you kind of expect that from an individual like that. But what was really, you know, what makes me bring this up is, I've heard Lil Wayne in some of his music speak in a contradictory way than what he talked about in that news clip. I mean, I've seen him articulate, or at least I've heard him articulate the struggles of racism, the struggles against police brutality. And I thought that this made an interesting contradiction and showed a great example of how the system actually works and how the system influences our people, especially when they get in a position of power. But I'm going to play this clip. This is Lil Wayne. What you're going to hear is his actual comments and all the stupidity. And I apologize for playing this type of ignorance on the show. But, you know, I did want to serve, you know, let everyone hear an example. But right after you hear his comments, I'm going to play, you're going to hear some of the music that this same guy spoke on. So this is Lil Wayne.
What's your thought on Black Lives Matter?
What is it? What do you mean?
The idea is that there's this movement thinking that the rest of America didn't seem to understand that.
It just sounds weird. I don't know that you put a name on. If somebody got shot by police for a reason. I am a young, black, rich If that don't let you know that America understand Black Matter these days, I don't know what it is. That man white, he filming me. My life matter, especially to my I feel connected to a damn thing that ain't got nothing to do with me.
What are we running from? The police said they already killed enough of us. They have them street cause they don't fuck with us. They hunting us. We in a race against the racist. That's what color runs.
Then they telling y'all lies on the news. The white people smiling like everything cool. But I know people that died in that pool. I know people that died in them schools. So what is the survivor to do? Got no trailer, you gotta move. Now it's on to the Texas and to
Georgia.
They tell you what they want, show you what they want you to see, but they don't let you know what's really going on. Make it look like a lot of stealing going on. All them cops, killers in my home. Shaking hot dead in the middle of the street.
All right, so there it is. You heard a whole lot of ignorance. But then I came back and we played some of the music that actually articulated the struggle, and actually articulated quite well the struggles that we face with police brutality, the face that we face with the system, the face with we face with stereotyping our people and putting a negative perception on us. I mean, in the I apologize, fam. I got briefly disconnected, but it showed. It clearly showed in that clip that at one hand, this brother who has produced music, and it's not a lot because most of his music is filled with ignorance, but it does show that he has a conscious side, that he does understand the struggle, and that he apparently has experienced some of the struggles, many of the struggles that he talked against. But he was on national TV spreading that ignorance. And it shows me that it's just a great example of how the system, when people move up in status, in an economic status, and they move up into class, where they move from being the proletarian or the lumpkin class, the working class, or that criminal class, which many brothers and sisters are part of in the particular city in which he's from. But when you move from that class and you move up to what's called the petty bourgeoisie, where now you have some status, the people begin to fight and they begin to protect their interests. So instead of speaking, as he's spoken many times in his music, about systemic racism, about police brutality, he comes out on national TV, on news networks, and does his coonery impersonation. So, you know, I just wanted to play that. But as I said, we're talking about today, how does the system of racism, white supremacy, capitalism, imperialism, neocolonialism affect the thinking and the behavior of new African people? And like I said, we are always joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. And I have my sister Ayo Deli on the line. Sister Ayo, are you there? I'm Ayo Deli. Are you there?
Free the land, Brother Yera. Good morning.
Good morning. Free the land. I am, I will. So how does this system of racism, white supremacy, capitalism, imperialism, neocolonialism affect the thinking and the behavior of our people? The floor is yours, sister.
Oh, well, because we are here in America due to historical circumstances. We call that the Great Mafa, which is the Great Holocaust of an African people, which began in 1619. And from that particular point on, and I keep saying it time and time again, we have to look at history. If you come over here in chains, and you were in chains for almost 400 years before we were emancipated as a people, then you have 400 years of indoctrination, not only physical abuse, you're talking about psychological reprogramming, you're talking about the lack of education, skills without knowing how to read or write. And you're talking about a belief system, even the whole spirituality. And everyone knows that African people are the most spiritual people on the planet, because we are the people who charted the path of the soul once it leaves the body. Those are historical facts about us. So if we tell ourselves that we are the descendants of enslaved Africans, we come with a long legacy of indoctrination, subjugation, a conquered people that have taken on a belief system of an oppressor. That system is white supremacy and racism. We are the victims of that system. So we have to understand that the reason why we think a certain way is because we are looking at life, all of our values, all of our belief systems from a Eurocentric mindset. But that Eurocentric mindset is in constant battle with who we are as an African people. And because we have not been able to sit down and pass on those historical things, those moral things, those things that we believe in as a people, we are at constant battles as to why we are always being aggressed upon. We are always being told that we are this, we are that, we are less than, we are not good as, we have issues, our community is in crisis. So we have to look at it from a different perspective. First of all, you have to know your history. You have to know what has happened to us as a people. And it's uncomfortable because some of the facts that are being constantly revealed and written about are painful. To know that man's aggression against man is in the form that it was under chattel slavery. So, yes, our people have a mindset that clearly identifies who we are just by the words that we speak out of our mouths and the attitudes that we have towards one another. And we know we are in constant battle against those type of mindsets, against those type of feelings, because they're just not correct. But if we have 400 years of constantly being told and acting in those manners, it's very, very difficult for us to change that type of mindset. So I agree with your statement, and I do have to tell you I appreciated you actually highlighting Dr. John Henry Clark, because I did have the pleasure of meeting him when he did come to Ghana, and to be able to sit with him for a moment and just have an assessment and a one-to-one personal conversation. So thank you for this topic. And as I said, free the land, brother.
Free the land, I will. And thank you for all your contributions and your years and years of dedication in the pursuit of new African independence and the attempt to raise the consciousness of our people. We had a real soldier and Mama Iodeli. And also I want to get to my brother Kikaye. My brother Kikaye, I see you on the line. What do you think? How does this system of racism, white supremacy, capitalism, exploitation, colonialism, imperialism, how is this big, gigantic, oppressive system, how does it affect the way new African people think? And of course, you know, if something affects the way you think, it also affects the way you behave. So how does it kind of, you know, affect African people here in America? Brother Kikaye, you there?
Yes, free the land, brother, free the land.
Free the land, I will.
Yes.
You.
Obviously it affects us. Just understanding that under a white supremacist, neo-colonialist, capitalist, imperialist system, it's all about control. One of the main instruments of control and power that's being used is the mass media. They sent out propaganda to develop the thinking process, which we know when you control people's thinking, you control their behavior, and they're receptive and they accept the things that you consider that are normal, that the culture, we call that having an idea or a liking to the clothes you wear in the culture, the foods you eat, you know, the everything. When you control people's thought process, you control their behavior. And that's where we are as a people. And we don't recognize that this whole system is designed to do exactly what it's supposed to do, and it's producing the people that it wants to produce. You have people not even recognizing that this system is designed for you to elect your leaders, but they have selected your leaders ahead of time. So you're not doing anything. You don't have a choice. People talk about having a choice, but when you're in a neo-colonialist, white supremacist, capitalist system, you are under their control. And so everything you do, if you know it or not, is based on you perpetuating this system, uplifting this system, maintaining this system. And you have to realize that this system is designed to exploit and oppress you. We are conquered people. You know, what we're dealing with is an oppressor against an oppressed nation. And when we come to terms with that, then we can begin to change our thinking process, which helps us change our behavior, which will help us begin to do things and come up with solutions that are outside of the box. It affects us tremendously. We can't think outside of the box because we're dominated by a white supremacist, capitalist, neo-colonialist, imperialist system. All of these things are what we're dealing with. And if we don't recognize that, it's because we're being miseducated, misguided, misdirected. And because of that, we will never understand the power of being controlled by a system like white supremacy. And so it does affect us. As a matter of fact, it produces more of us that are willing to stay in the confines of this system as opposed to those who recognize that thinking outside of the box is needed. Thinking outside of the box meaning that a people take in consideration their history in order to determine what's right for them, in order to have self-determination, in order to begin to think Afrocentric, African-centered. And so we can't do that as long as we stay in this system. And that's why we have our own plan, our own independence. We've declared our independence. We have our own constitution. We have our own nation called the Republic of New Africa, where we can have an opportunity to have self-determination, our own economy, our own government. And and you can't understand that this is what's necessary if you're being indoctrinated and you are being controlled and oppressed by a system of white supremacy. We have to wake up. We have to understand these are the necessary steps we need to take. New Africa is where we need to go. And thank you, my brother, for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your comments. And that was an excellent comments. And I agree with you. And, of course, it's a struggle for those of us who try to do something positive, try to raise, to change the condition of our people, trying to elevate our people collectively as a whole. We have to struggle, you know, on a day-to-day basis, just trying to get our people collectively to act in a way that is not detrimental to ourselves, to our own best interest. And the reason for that is because of the indoctrination, the propaganda machine of this system of white supremacy. We have to, it's a struggle with our own family members, you know, because this system has a way of making white supremacy sound so, so cool. You know, you turn on the radio, you see fancy dress black person doing his coonery, talking about, you know, person with talent, got a nice beat behind him, can rap, can sing very well, put words together in a poetic way, but they're spreading white supremacy, but they're doing it in a way which appeals to young people. You turn on the movies and you see all these cool movies with these special effects and all this kind of way, and they subtly put white supremacy in it. Not in, they don't have people with Klan outfits on and all of this type of stuff, talking about how Hitler and all of this type of stuff. No, they subtly put images of white supremacy in there. If they put them in within the characters. You know, this black character is always something wrong with them. They're always subservient to the white hero. The white hero has to come out and save the day. The white standard of beauty is the one that everybody has to gravitate from and say, oh, yes, yes, yes. They subtly put all of these images right before and you flash with it and you're flooded with them, you know, in your schools, in your church, every aspect. And you don't even realize that it's being done, but you're being programmed. So us who are conscious-minded, who are aware in trying to fight that, it's a daily struggle. You know, even trying to keep our family members in line with what we need to be doing collectively as a people. So with that, before we get out of here, we want to talk about some solutions, you know, because time flies. So I'm coming right back to you, Sister Mama Iodelli. So what can we do about countering the program that we all face within this system of white supremacy? Mama Io, are you still there?
Yes, Iodelli. I am free the land. Yes, I am free the land.
Free the land. Free the land. I will. So what do you think? What are some of the solutions?
Some of the solutions, as many of us continue to say, you have to work very hard, very, very hard. It has to be a conscious effort day by day to identify. I'm thinking as if I'm a white person. I need to be thinking as if I have my African mind back, because when you have your African mind back, that dictates how you look at the world, how you look at one another, how you look at yourself, how you look at family. You begin to think differently. You want to eat differently. You want to listen to different types of music. You want to behave in a better way, a more loving way to people who look like you, because we are the ones who are under attack constantly. Not only are we attacked from a clear and evident enemy, but the internal enemy is very, very insidious. It is very, very critical, because we have people who, as you said before, act as coons, who are there to uphold a system, whether it is consciously upholding a system or unconsciously. When you just blindly follow a system without question, without understanding a historical perspective from which we come from, even how we teach our children, what we say to our children, how we give them tools to survive in a system that is clearly, clearly hostile against them, because we talk about the majority of our people, not what we call a few that are able to move up the ranks, because you have to give up something of yourself in order to be rich, famous, a household word. We have to look at what they have to give up in order to do that, versus the people who are everyday citizens that are just trying to live and provide the basic needs for their families. Those are things that we constantly have to be working on, and it starts with self. So that what you say as an African person here in America, you have to live it. You have to walk those things. You have to, and you have to be aware that we are constantly under an attack under this system of white supremacy and racism. And we have to deal with the food, the water, the spirituality, the clothing, even the very clothing that they put out for us to wear is against our African mindset. So everything changes. Everything we look at and we analyze and we say either it is good for us or it is not good for us. So we have to think about, yes, we are a nation of people, because as a nation of people, we're under attack. And we declared in 1968, thank you, that we have a Republic of New Africa. We have 5 states in the South. We're asking people to start thinking about planning for, become a conscious citizen, become a conscious citizen of the Republic of New Africa. Go onto the website, find out what the Code of Umoja is, find out about the African Creed, to start discussing the principles of the Nguza Saba. Why did our forefathers say that the 7 principles of blackness is important for us to incorporate into our lives? What do they mean? What are the words? To start having intelligent conversations about, well, what are the plans? Who are the people involved? What do we need to be doing? Those are the things that we can do as people who want to actually build better lives for our children's children. Because if we look at this life that we're living right now, and some people say we're living okay, we're living large, that's not true. It is not true. So as an African people here in America, yes, we have to start working on self, family, nation, race. Free the land, brother.
Amen. We'll see it. I am, I will. Brother Kakayi, I'm coming to you now, brother. So what do you think? What are some of the solutions that we can implement into existence that can help us counter this programming and indoctrination of the system of white supremacy? Brother, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Free the land, brother.
Free
I
the
think
land.
That, you know, the Queen said it so eloquently, what we need to do. And more specifically, we need to educate our people with the propaganda that supports us being liberated as a people, teaching them through political information why it's necessary and why it's a part of our historical duty to free our people from these conditions of neocolonialism. If we don't teach our people the reasons, what has gone on in the past, what's happening now, we won't go in the right direction to determine our own destiny. And in order for us to even consider determining our own destiny or having self-determination, we have to have our own land, our own nation, our own government, our own economy. And it can never, ever be the same as white supremacy, capitalism, imperialism. It can't be that. And we have to educate them on why, so we can change their thinking process, so we can change their behavior, and we'll be able to do the things that are necessary to liberate our people. We have to have organization, and I'm going to make this short. In conclusion, we have to have organization, and the organization that we have in place from our ancestors, like the Queen mentioned, from the Republic of New Africa, back in 1968, March the 31st, our ancestors told us, hey, we are declaring our independence. All remedies have been exhausted. They no longer work trying to integrate with these people. We have our own Declaration of Independence. We have our own Constitution, and our land is South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, and this is our nation, the Republic of New Africa, and we have a provisional government that is in existence today. And if you want to go in the right direction for the liberation of our people, you have to begin to think differently. You have to surround yourself with people who have the same goals and purpose, and that's to liberate our people from hundreds of years of suffering. And so this is what we need to do. This is the solution. And our leaders, such as us, such as the conscious citizens of Republic of New Africa, can guide us in the right direction so we can really see that the solution is attainable. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you for those great, powerful words. And I will close by saying this, because we're just about out of time, but it boils down to control. As long as individuals control your political systems, educational system, economic system, social systems, justice systems, all of the systems that govern your very lives, as long as those systems are controlled by individuals who don't have your best interests in mind and heart, people who have historically benefited from your exploitation, as long as that relationship exists, it's always going to be an uphill battle, because these individuals also control the systems which produce behaviors and thoughts and beliefs. And as we always said earlier, if you control the way a person thinks, you control their actions. So before we can even really, really start going into the right direction, we have to gain control. We have to create these institutions that are going to produce the proper thinking, that's going to properly educate our people, that's going to properly give us direction. We need our own independent schools. I mean, it's hard to talk about you want black liberation, but we keep sending ourselves, our children, to these schools that indoctrinate them into a system of white supremacy. We need our own media networks. And I know, you know, there are a lot of independent media outlets, especially springing up online, that's doing great work. We need to consolidate them. We need more. And we need to control like, our own media on a massive level, on a national level. Because, again, it's hard to talk about liberating your people, getting our people to uplift ourselves when they're constantly being fed foolishness by the white supremacist propaganda machine. And it goes back to what I say all the time. In order to truly have freedom, you need four things. You need land. Because if you don't have your own land, then anything you do on someone else's land is going to be subjugated to what they want. You need independence. Because you can't be free unless you are independent. You have control of the systems that produce not only the thinking, but produce the justice, produce the education, produce the social networks, produce the politics. You can't be dependent upon a system that does not mean you any good. You need self-government. You have to have the ability to create the policies and laws that are going to govern you fairly and put you in a position that you need to be. Laws that benefit you. And you need a different economic system, because you can't have true freedom if you're creating a system that is based on exploitation. So until we truly have these things, it's going to be an uphill battle. So that's why our energy and our focus should be all consolidate in getting true independence, in getting land, in getting self-government, getting all these things. My name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yayra. I want to thank everybody for listening, for tuning in every week. And as always, join us next week as we will be discussing topics that are relevant to the New African Independence Movement. But until then, I leave you all with a big free the land, and I'll see you next week. We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any